Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. We're talking about voting today at the ballot box, so to speak. We are particularly interested what it felt like for you if you voted to go not behind that curtain, literally pull levers and then pull the big lever and register your vote, but to either vote on a machine or fill out a paper ballot. We'd like to know what was your experience, and we're going to be talking to several prominent New Yorkers today about that. First, let me give the number for you to call, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. You can also comment on our Facebook page. You can go to the Brian Lehrer page or itsafreecountry.org and tell us your voting experience. And so that we have every technical possible way to communicate with us covered, you can text ballot, those are the letters, B-A-L-L-O-T, to 30644 and share your experience using the new paper ballot. Your carrier's standard messaging rates apply. So one way or another, we hope to hear from you this morning. But first, joining us, our first designer of this morning, is Charles Blow. He's the New York Times visual op-ed columnist. Good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
So did you vote today?
I did.
And what was it like for you?
The atmospherics are so different from voting as I remember it. Obviously you're filling out a paper ballot, but there is no curtain. You're at a stand, and there's someone 2 feet away from you who can stare over at whatever you're doing, and the kind of old world flipping of the switches and the finality of that crunch that I love so much. All that's gone. So it felt very different. It felt it didn't feel very private at all, which was, a little jarring to me.
They have those little sort of cardboard things that you can go behind, but it's not like you're going into a place behind a curtain.
Right. You don't go behind anything. I mean, at my polling place, you just kind of walk up to these stands. It's as if you're like, you've ordered a sandwich at a deli, you turn around and eat it. It's a very different feeling than feeling like, you've closed out the world in essence with that curtain, and it's a little dark, and you, whatever choice you make, it is, yours between you and that machine. Here it felt very open, and the privacy is diminished a bit.
So, I want to sort of ask you about the ballot itself, but I did want to share this comment from Elizabeth from Manhattan, who commented on our comments page. She says, "There's a shocking flaw in the new paper system, at least as my husband and I experienced it at our local polling place on the Upper West Side. It does away with privacy. Our ballots were fed, vote side up, into the scanner with our votes on display to the poll worker. The poll worker told us the scanners accepted the ballots only if they were fed in this direction, and the coordinator in charge confirmed this piece of information, agreeing the procedure compromised voter privacy." So I think we'll be investigating that a little bit more this show, sort of what are the ballots, the cardboard boxes placed properly, and are the poll workers supposed to feed them in? I mean, I've seen some polling in other places where the poll workers don't feed them in, where you go and you feed them in, you're not being sort of, no one's watching over your shoulder. So we'll be looking into that, whether that is the intent of the new system. But now let's talk about the ballot itself. Mm-hmm. When you looked at the ballot, did it remind you of, voting in one of those old machines, or did it look like something completely different?
It's completely different. The type is very small. It's not, the old machines had that very classic old typesetter, sans serif, big blocky bold lettering. This is much smaller type. There isn't a lot of differentiation between boldness and kind of font styling or like a regular styling or italic. Also, the instructions part of the ballot is incredibly small, and uh, the the spacing, I'm going to try to not talk in designer talk, but the spacing between lines is so tight that it's really hard to read. And in fact, you know, the poll workers at my polling place were very helpful in walking you through it, so you didn't have to read it. But if you have to read it, it's really hard on the eyes and much too small. And the organization of the candidates is not organized. Unless there's no organization, and there's plenty of space to do it. For instance, why aren't national races and state races and city races separated on the ballot so you understand how many people you or sections you have to vote for? It's hard for me. I almost looked over sections of the ballot because they just folded in a random order. It's starting at the national offices, but you don't. It's not easily discernible how many times you need to be voting.
We have a call from Dan from Manhattan who has a tip about the how he saw his ballot. Dan, how'd you do it?
Well, I just walked in and did not expect to know anything about it. It was beyond simple, and I had forgotten my glasses. And to my surprise, there was a magnifying sheet right in the spot where you select your votes. So to me, it was beyond simplistic, really easy, and I just hope that it scanned what I actually wrote.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Dan. Charles Blow, you specialize in visual storytelling. The ballot, small letters, interesting when you think about the population who votes, which tends to skew older. But did the ballot tell you a story?
It told me a story about poor design, in my estimation. I mean, they're just simple little things that you can do to increase legibility and to make voting simple. And in the case of your last caller, for most people, it will be beyond simple. There will be no mistakes. It is the problem is that when someone like me almost skips over an entire section of the ballot because I just didn't. I mean, they have larger, heavier rules between each category, but I was just kind of scanning quickly, trying to, you know, get in and get out, and almost missed one. You don't want that to happen. You want to do everything you can, including your best design, to ensure that nothing gets skipped over, no one makes a mistake, and mistakes are going to be made, but as few mistakes are made in the voting process as humanly possible.
And we have to end it there. Thank you so much, Charles Blow, the visual op-ed columnist for The New York Times. And we will be speaking to more designers throughout the day about their voting experiences. Good morning, Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. Did you hear it's primary day in New York? People are voting for the first time on those new optical scan paper ballot combos. Gone are the old voting booths with the levers and the curtains and the things that you knew so well. So we'd like to know your voting experience. We are also conducting our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific New York primary day exit poll. And we'd like to know this hour if you voted in the race for New York Attorney General or in the race for New York Governor on the Republican Party line, who you voted for and why you made the decision that you did. Later in the show, we'll also be talking about some congressional races and state legislative races. But right now, we're asking for calls on the New York Attorney General's race, the New York Governor's primary, and also just in general calls about your experience with the new voting machines, how it went for you, whether it was easy to vote, whether it was hard to vote. And one of the people talking to us is perhaps the most famous ad designer in the history of the world, Milton Glaser, the designer of the I Heart New York logo. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. How are you?
So did you vote?
I did.
And how was it for you?
It was fine. I suppose you asked me to comment on my design experience in terms of legibility and clarity and all those other issues. But unfortunately, the ballot itself is extremely difficult to read. The type is of a size that would make anybody slightly impaired visually troubled by it. And it is undifferentiated, and it is hard to find things. And it was designed, obviously, by committee, I suspect, as these things usually are, and nobody there having any notion about typography or the hierarchy of information or anything else. And my curiosity is always in these cases, what was the process by which the decision was made that this was going to be the ballot that people were going to be subjected to? How does it come about? Did they ever get anybody involved who knew anything about visual appearances or clarity or design? Or did it just come about as a bunch of guys sitting around a table saying, I like this one?
So you didn't exactly heart the new ballot. What do you think, what could improve it?
Contrast, scale, choice of typeface, any number of other things. It's really incompetent, but I suppose it, in a kind of primitive way, serves its function. It just could have been done so much better. And my curiosity is, did they ever hire anybody or ask anybody pro bono, as I would have done happily, to look at this thing and say, is this the best we could do for this particular purpose? I suspect not.
All right. Well, so Milton Glaser is offering to redesign the ballot today. We will pass that along to the New York Board of Elections. We will see. Perhaps they'll take you up on it so the next one may be a clearer experience. A lot of complaints this morning about the change in experience and the small type, although one voter did say that he had a magnifying glass helpfully provided at his polling place. But several others have said, bring your reading glasses. Don't forget your reading glasses or you won't be able to vote. And we had Charles Blow on earlier, the New York Times visual op-ed columnist, and he was talking about the sort of whole atmospheric experience of voting has changed. Was that also your experience?
Well, I was thinking as I left how what a lost opportunity is for somebody to go in and feel thrilled at the idea that they were voting and making a choice and how extraordinary liberty and freedom and voting all is. Instead of that, you get a kind of dispirited, sad, kind of bureaucratic environment that's in disarray with a lot of people who are indifferent about what they're doing. A few, of course, were helpful. But what a lost opportunity to make people feel grateful for the extraordinary act of voting itself. You go into these sad environments with people looking listless and dull and so on, instead of being excited by the very prospect of doing something that's so essential to their life.
Do you think, though, that some of the feeling today just comes from the act of change itself? I mean, you know, we've all voted on those voting machines for so many years and got quite comfortable with them, although, you know, they were no picnic. It was hard to find stuff on those machines as well.
Oh, it was horrible. Those voting machines are kind of ancient torture devices. I mean, you very often got stuck inside without being able to figure out how you could get out once you had voted. And for some people, it was impossible to move the lever and so on and so on. There was no virtue in the old ones. This represents a step forward, certainly. But what has not been considered is an orientation so that if you stepped inside that room, immediately you would begin a process of learning exactly what was expected of you. The ballot itself could have been executed in a way that would have made the experience much simpler and much easier to understand. There was no introduction to a new experience, which, of course, you always have to have. When people encounter anything new, they are disoriented and confused. Actually, it didn't seem to me that was an extreme condition here. But somebody should have thought about the process of introduction, and people should have known all about this through the media and through television and so on long before it happened, and there could have been a way of making this a seamless, easy experience. Instead, it was just in almost typical fashion left to accident and circumstance to develop the orientation towards the experience.
All right, Milton Glaser, stay with us. I want to read some comments and take a call or two. Milton Glaser is the designer of the I Heart New York logo, the very famous, talking about how the new ballots are designed. Brian Lehrer show friend Baratunde Thurston wrote about the voting experience today. I arrived at Brooklyn Technical High School to vote this morning around 8:30 a.m. and was stunned to find a long line of young voters. I was then relieved to realize they were students eagerly lining up for their regularly scheduled educational programming. The gym was quite empty, and my election worker was decked out in his Obama gear. Adorable. for him, I think. Election Day will always be Obama Day. As for the voting itself, it was underwhelming. I prefer the old machines. When I vote, I want to feel like I've just launched a torpedo. This is America, right? And a listener from West 97th Street writes, first one scanner, then both scanners broke down at 9:15 a.m. or so. They finally brought out the emergency ballot box, and we stuffed all of ours in. But before they straightened it all out, I was in line for 45 minutes. Also, it was about 95 degrees in there, and the head election worker attributed the scanner breakdown to the heat. Bring back the lever machines. And calling in, Professor Robert Hodge of the Criminal Justice Department from where?
Nassau Community College.
Nassau Community College.
Garden City.
Tell us about your voting machine today.
Okay, well, first of all, it was ridiculously easy. We have our students mark their tests with ovals. All I had to do was mark two ovals, one for Kathleen Rice and one for Senator Gillibrand. What bothered me was that the worker...
Well, if those were their choices.
Right. What bothered me was the worker who stood right next to me when I asked her which way you put the ballot that you marked into the machine. They had a diagram on a machine that showed stars around the edge of the ballot. But I took the ballot and both sides had stars, but it didn't say which way you're supposed to put it, face up with the oval up or face down. Now, I couldn't care less that she could see who I voted for because I intended to vote for Kathleen Rice. But for people who like privacy, when they're helping you tell you which way to put it in, they can see whatever or whomever you voted for.
We're going to try to get a comment from the Board of Elections on whether the election workers are supposed to be watching you. But Professor Robert Hodges, tell us very quickly on our thoroughly unscientific exit poll why you chose Kathleen Rice.
Oh, well, I think she has a lot of remarkable programs that she started. I didn't like her in the beginning because I was friends with Dennis Dillon, her predecessor, for 31 years. But she beat him, and she had a lot of really good programs, especially the different things she's done in the area of drinking and driving. So I think she's had a major positive impact.
We have to end it there. Thank you so much for calling in, Professor Robert Hodges from Nassau University. Milton Glaser, any final thoughts on these callers?
No, except for the fact that I think that this actually does represent a step forward. And once people discomfort over new experiences over, they'll find that it's an easy enough thing to do. It needs a little orientation and a little clarity on the part of the function of people who are helping you. But aside from that, it does represent, I think, a step forward.
Thank you so much. We have to end it there. Milton Glaser, the designer of the iHeart New York logo. We will be talking to more designers in the next hour on WNYC. We'll also be continuing our thoroughly unscientific, informal, and unofficial exit poll on congressional and state legislative races. All that coming up after the news. We're going to talk now to our final designer of the day. Julie Lasky is the former editor-in-chief of ID and the editor of the Change Observer channel at Design Observer. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Andrea.
Did you vote today?
I did.
And what was the experience like?
Well, I went to my old stomping grounds of Park Slope. I actually moved to Harlem recently, but I'm too lazy to change my voter's registration, but not too lazy to get on a subway and go to my old neighborhood. And my experience was that I was really surprised by the low turnout. I arrived at about 8:30 this morning and found a practically empty gymnasium in a public school and 30 of these new voting booths, perhaps only six of which were occupied.
And how did you feel about the ballot?
I think the ballot worked. But
really? You are out of sync with our previous two designers, Milton Glaser and Charles Blow, who both pretty much trashed it, although Milton Glaser did say it was a step in the right direction.
Well, I'm really glad you didn't tell me that you had talked to Milton Glaser and Charles Blow before I said that, but I am being totally candid. One of the advantages, I mean, the ballot itself, the typography, which is probably what Milton was talking about, is not, you know, it's far from what it should be in terms of something that's clear and legible. And I can see that there are perhaps pitfalls to be considered, because it's still, you know, type that's crunched up in little narrow columns in a grid, which isn't the most sensible thing to look at. But procedurally, it works because, you know, before when we had the lever system and we, you know, had to go in behind a curtain, even if the voting area was empty, you still, you know, couldn't really take your time. You know, you had to kind of hustle yourself in and out of there. But this situation where you can go and pick, you know, at least this morning, any number of different locations to fill out that ballot left a lot of time to figure things out. So I'm not sure it was the best test. I would want to see how this worked on a very busy, crowded morning, which will probably happen with a national election versus a primary.
Any complaints on we've had some complaints about being able to see the ballot, that you needed to bring reading glasses or a magnifying glass, that it was sort of hard to figure out what your choices were on any given line. What was your experience of that?
Well, I was able to see, and I have very poor vision. I was aware that the sheet of plastic that was hanging from the wall of the booth was there to magnify the type if I needed it. I'm not sure that was self-explanatory, though. I'm not sure if I'd walked in there not expecting to see that, if I would have realized that that's what that piece of plastic was for.
Milton Glaser volunteered himself to redesign the ballot. Would you do the same?
Well, I'm not a designer. I'm a journalist who's hung around with designers for many, many years, and I would wholly endorse Milton redesigning the ballot. I mean, that would just be such a boon to New York. I mean, he did I Love New York, so, you know, this man is just a local treasure anyway, and that would just be fabulous.
All right, Julie, stay with us for just a moment. I'm going to bring in some callers. Marilyn from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I also had an experience that I'd like to tell you about. I found the ballots also very difficult to read, very small. Also, there was no privacy where I went to vote. You just had to find a place to fill it out. And I am disabled, and that was difficult for me. I also had to wait a long time because they had to rip the ballots out of this book. And if they tore them or creased them, they would not go into the voting machine. They would not register. And they kept creasing and ripping one after the other, just a waste. It was ridiculous. And then I found people who walked out. They stopped in on the way to work.
Marilyn, where in Brooklyn are you?
I'm down in Sheepshead Bay.
And who'd you vote for?
Who I voted for?
Yes.
I voted the Democratic ballot.
And did you? Who did you pick in the Attorney General's race as part of our unscientific, unofficial, and informal exit poll?
I don't remember.
You
know what? I was very surprised. I was wondering who was running in this area.
Schneiderman? And when
I saw,
Coffee?
I did not vote for Schneiderman.
Rice?
No, I did not. That I can tell you. But I was
DiNullo.
So surprised.
Brodsky. None of those names sound familiar. Julie Lasky, what does that tell you, that Marilyn didn't even leave the ballot box with a real strong sense of who the choices were?
No, I didn't, because I was really surprised. I had no idea who was running in this area or what.
All right, so,
I was kind of shocked.
Marilyn, thank you for your call. And Julie Lasky, final words on what that tells you about the ballot design?
I think that's definitely an indictment about the poor typography on the ballot. And that for sure should be changed. And I one other comment I just would make, Andrea, is that there's something a little retrograde about all this paper flying around in this day and age. It would have been nice to have thought, I mean, I realize that this, it's a national issue right now, that the choice of paper, the paper ballot, was something that was not, you know, a choice in New York States. But it would be nice to think about
more electronic. Julie,
were, yeah,
we have to
electronic.
End it there. But the conversation will continue online. And I want to remind everyone that tonight, starting at 9, WNYC and It's a Free Country will bring you special primary coverage all night. I will be hosting an online chat, so make sure you join us online, on air, WNYC.org. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lair, and we will be back tomorrow to sort how this all went. Thanks, everyone.